Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Boat Trader, America's largest boating marketplace, offering easy financing and over 100,000 boat listings to choose from. Sell, find, and finance new or used boats on America's largest boating marketplace. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
Working Class on Deercast. It's episode 50 of Working Class on Deercast, and we have Josh Sparks calling in from the, can we say the new Iowa Drury Outdoors headquarters, kind of?
Yeah, I think that that's what we're going for. We just moved into our new office. It's actually an old dental office that was the perfect setup. We got some new floors, new walls, got everything rerouted for our servers, and we're officially, I think this would be day two of working out of here, working out the kinks, but it's a lot better than Mark's basement. So
I like it too. You have two sinks, which is super necessary in an editing office. So some whiskey in between, a little wet bar back there and some cameras. And
there's a lot of room for expansion and opportunities. I haven't got that far yet. Yeah, exactly. So. But it works, in all seriousness. I mean, it's something we're very, very excited about from a production standpoint. You know, the workflow is awesome. We've got a new intern. His name's Darren. He's doing a great job. So just kind of gives us all our individual space. And, you know, that creative flow is a lot stronger. So,
yeah, I can imagine. I'm excited to come up and see it. You haven't been on a Deercast podcast since the first like five or six, probably, when we were at Mark's barn.
I was going to say it was a pretty big day. That was when Mark shot his 216 last year.
And, yeah.
I think it's within a few days. Honestly, I can't remember exactly what day, but it was this first week of October, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah, it's been about a year ago as recording. So thanks for coming back on. I've been working with you a lot, pretty much exclusively on the back end of things for Working Class on Deercast and some other things with Deercast. So you're a busy dude, man. You're always rocking with something like that. I mean, how are you enjoying the gig at Drury since when we first talked, when it was kind of fresh, right?
Yeah. I mean, but it's, when we did that podcast, I want to say I'd been here for just over a month, and it's only gotten better from there. You know what I mean? It's still, I'd say the same thing. Doesn't really feel like work. You know, the no sleep thing continues, but man, we've made a lot of memories in between that last time and now.
Yeah.
And last night, we just, not to give a plug or anything, but Wade Robinson shot his biggest deer to date. And I was very fortunate to be along with him for that journey. And it's going to be an exciting one to check out. So
yeah, that's a slammer. I'm excited to talk to him. He needs to get in the studio and get some revenge on the prank we played. Mark induced that prank, for the record. Really? That was all Mark. I would have never messed with Wade. You know what I mean? A nice, strong, handsome deer killing figure that he is. I wouldn't have done that if it wouldn't have been for Mark's influence. So he's due to come in and get some revenge.
So I can't imagine Mark would instigate anything like that. That doesn't sound like, no.
I feel like Mark tries to pawn a lot of instigation factors off on me in interviews with his guys, which is like, why would you not? Right. I think I'd probably do the same thing. Given his situation, but no, that thing's awesome. I do want you to show some pictures of that thing in a minute, but I mean, you've been all over kind of with the film production and killing big deer and kind of in the mix. Like, I know you're humble and you probably won't admit it as much, but you've been around a lot of big deer lately, like, you know, the last couple of years, but even more so, especially in the last 12 months.
Yeah, no, you hit it on the head. Like, I've always said that I only get to do the things that I do because of the people I've gotten to work with. I mean, yeah, you know, I've worked hard and put a lot of time into it behind the scenes, but at the end of the day, I've just had a lot of great influences, a lot of great people to give me opportunities to succeed. And like last night was just another affirmation of it, man. Like, you know, obviously living in Iowa, I think everybody's got this misconception that you see big deer every year and no matter where you hunt, it's not the case. I mean, I grew up a lot of years with Lee Herr and, you know, where we grew up, there's big deer, but like I never saw any giants, you know what I mean? And yeah. So camera and editing and whatever it is that you want to call that I do, it has afforded me so many opportunities to be a part of, you know, creating memories. You know, like last night when you watched that episode, like after Wade shot, we knew, you know, we made contact. It was just like I was shaking just as if I had pulled the trigger. And that's right. A really hard thing to explain to somebody, like, dude, why do you care about a camera and filming? I'm like, until you do it, it's really hard to explain. But man, like you said, it's been a fun journey so far, and I hope that it continues for very, you know, far into the future. And I've got to see some pretty large deer that, you know, some people might not ever get to see in a lifetime. It's very, very humbling.
Sure. Well, I have no doubt that you're going to have a long career. Your work ethic is just unlike anybody else's that I've seen in the outdoor industry. You're down to earth. You do what you say, like what you say you're going to do, you do it. But one thing I do want to go back and expand on that I think is something to talk about more so now, especially with, you know, we're putting a lot of clips out on TikTok and Instagram reels. And then you start to realize quick, you know, we've been doing like 1 minute debates of like what a, you know, you can't really fully debate anything in 1 minute. So, but that's great for the content of people giving in their input too, because we're not going to cover everything. I've learned from the internet is that everybody just spends more time arguing about who's got what and who doesn't have whatever. And when you talked about the, you know, certain people that you are connected with have given you opportunity to be around big deer and quality bucks and different areas with, you know, in Iowa, better genetics that per deer percentage wise than you're going to find in Virginia or whatever. You know, it's just everybody knows Iowa, Illinois, the Midwest, where it's at for whitetails. So, but I think what people fail to recognize because, and I'm talking people on the internet, because it's inconvenient. It doesn't really fit what they have. They're so quick to hate on somebody that has private ground and that tries to kill big deer every year, let them get to 5.5 or older, that whole thing. And I think people fail to recognize that money doesn't just give you that. Effort and hard work and dedication and time and all this have to all come in perfectly to create that opportunity. And do you feel that way? Do you feel like it's inconvenient for people to think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what is always left out of the equation, no matter who it is, whether it's Mark, Wade, Perry, Terry, Matt, myself, and Carson, whoever it is that you want to talk about, is the sacrifice of time. I mean, it seems like everybody's really quick to like, oh, it'd be really nice if I had that, but you are forgetting the years that you're not seeing. You know, especially like I've gotten to see that with Mark, not so much Terry, just because I don't get to work with them on a daily basis, but I know it's kind of the same story, but
yeah,
the amount of sacrifice that we never got to see, you know, on camera from when they were in their teens working, you know, Mark talks about working construction and all the sales that he did of Mossy Oak. And it's like today people are so quick to be like, you know, you've done this or if I had that type of thing. But it's like the reason they don't is because they didn't grind down that path. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so that's one thing that's super inspiring. Getting to work with Mark on a daily basis is that, you know, trusting that process, working really hard, you know, it'll take care of itself in the end. So
for sure. It's kind of unique too, with like the jury internal workings, because you have guys that are young that are in the middle of this grind. And then there's guys in the family, Mark, Terry, some of these other, all these other guys that are in that realm that have done the grind. And then, yeah, it's easy to see where they're at, like Mark or Terry on the mountaintop and be like, screw those guys. They got money. They have big deer because they have money. I wish I could hunt out of a box blind over a food plot. That's not hunting. But yeah, they don't want to recognize some of the public land hunting, the grind, the crazy glasses and tall hats from the late 80s into the 90s. And you know what I mean? All that hustle. Whereas a lot of you guys there at the office are in that hustle and have hunted prior to this and might not have been around the big deer, but then you come in, you see what it actually takes in the inner workings. And And it goes the same thing as like, well, you're not working class now. Well, it's like you're not recognizing the grind of all the years that my job hated me because I was wanting to work on this project at my blue collar job, that type of thing. So I felt like that was just important to bring up and kind of interesting to talk about.
For sure. And I mean, make no mistake about it, like Mark and Terry have not stopped grinding. I mean, they do
right.
Every single person here, if not more, you know what I mean? Like Mark never stops. And again, like I said, I can't really speak on Terry, but I know it's the same. Mark never quits thinking about the next hunt or the next, you know, weather event, etc. Mm-hmm. And that attention to detail, you know, bleeds into the rest of us, you know, as a working family. And, you know, so I don't think it's fair to be like that. He's still not up. I mean, most people probably, you know, and that again, yeah. Like for me personally, was one of the reasons why I was so intrigued by getting to work with him on a daily basis is like, you've met a lot of people that maybe make it somewhere. There's very few that continue to want to remain there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't mean to make it seem like they weren't still working. Yeah. I don't know if it came off that way or not, but, for people, you know, that might see you in your career field and that you're doing all these cool hunts and filming cool hunts and editing TV shows and web shows and shows for DeerCast and all this stuff. Do you get this a lot? I wish I could hunt for a living. Do you have people say that to you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't really get a whole lot of like, you know, negative per se. I've had a lot of people say that to me.
Now that they say it, that mean they don't mean it in a negative way. They don't think about what they're actually saying, I think.
Yeah. I usually respond with something along the lines of like, I don't hunt for a living. I just sleep way less than you. That's it. It's the only change. You know what I mean? Because like that time that you go and hunt, that does not take away from the daily responsibilities of editing, you know, the
deadlines, meetings.
Here, like, getting to go last night and film with Wade did not make my Deer Season 22 episode any more complete or the deadline. You know what I mean?
Right.
So again, though, like, man, I'd give up sleep every day to get to be surrounded by the people that I am and getting to be a part of the memories that we all get to share in. You know, I mean, this year has already been pretty stacked. Like, I was very, very fortunate to get to go to Utah. I got to go with Taylor and Austin out there chasing mule deer. Didn't have success, but, you know, just incredible, you know, knowledge gained. I've never been mule deer hunting. So between Austin's, you know, tutelage, getting to see some big deer, you know, we just had no wind out there. We just
did mule deer hunting kind of perk your interest the same way it did like a whitetail would?
I loved it. I mean, really? It was like, it's hard to explain, but like the simple version would be, I felt like the adrenaline dump of a buck coming in was like a very slow increasing as every step you got closer to the bedded animal. And then when you're within that 30 to 40 yards, it's just like this constant, like it could happen at any second, you know, I'm like that mental game of like being prepared. It was really hard for me. Like, and I know a lot of guys that have filmed those types of adventures make it look really easy. Wade's done so many of them. You're trying to stalk and film at the same time, you know what I mean? So you're like looking at the ground and trying, because the one thing I didn't want to be was the reason why we screwed something up. That was my main goal.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's a lot of pressure too, to think like you're juggling a lot more consistently during the hunt, you know.
No, it was impressive. I mean, those animals, they were in a spot to live every single time. Every time you're like, oh, this is the one, just didn't come together. But
right,
you know, between that, Wade killing opening day in Missouri again, Perry killing in Missouri, now Wade shooting this giant in Iowa. I mean, it's already this year we've got to be a part of a lot of pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, know? I mean, Missouri season's been open, but here the day of recording, it's October 5th. But Missouri season's been what, the 15th of September, roughly, there?
Yep.
Very cool. I mean, that's one thing I think that's changed for me since religiously using DeerCast is like early paying attention to factors and weather that maybe that were more easily overlooked because they're not highlighted with a generic weather app. So I can see that's why a lot of these deer are dying early with like these cold fronts or different weather factors, whatever it may be. Which is, you know, Perry killing and Wade killing, which is great that Wade killed the bigger deer. You know, there's a win for Wade. See,
Perry's still got the Iowa tag. We'll see.
Mark's got me subconsciously just wanting to poke at both them guys just for like the fun of our work environment.
Carson and I, we're on the edges of that. Leaves out of it. We're neutral.
Yeah, I can't be doing this to you. I'll have to save that for Wade, Perry, and or Mark when they're in, but that's fun.
Yeah, after it. I got to keep the peace.
You're the peacekeeper. Yeah, I like that. I like that. It's got to be cool, man, to kind of, you know, lay down the footage on a giant hitting the ground and still being a part of that process. Like you're saying, it's like, how are people can act like, why do you care about that? But to me, it makes perfect sense. It's like you're a part of a moment that someone's going to remember forever.
That, dude, you just said it best. Like, my favorite part about the job, no doubt about it, is it's a very big privilege that somebody would trust you with such an important memory. And then you're the one that gets to, you know, do a little bit of work, and it's something that them, their family, their friends, viewers, etc., can watch forever. That's it's always been my favorite part about the job itself. And luckily, and that's, you know, falling in love with editing has opened up a lot more doors than had I only enjoyed filming, I think. You hit that on the head. Last night, man, you don't have to watch it in the video, but there was a moment in the hunt where it was just like, oh no, here we go. You know what I mean? And then when the arrow hit, it was just like, both of us were just like, oh no, oh my gosh, we did it. You know, and I was like, sitting there with the camera in my hand, I'm like, what's wrong with me? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, shoot this deer, but I feel like I just did.
See, that's cool.
For Wade's biggest deer, like, it's like I said, that's a big honor, a big privilege, and the deer's giant. You know what I mean? It's exactly why you go through these nights of not sleeping. It's all worth it. You know what I mean? It's crazy to think about this season and how much fun it's already been. And we haven't been to Carson and I haven't hunted one time. I haven't been to the woods once. I've been to the woods twice for filming, but it's like, I feel like we've already had an incredible season. So, you know what I mean? So,
yeah, it's weird. It does. I mean, I'm not in the same boat you're in, but to me, it seems like season's been open for a long time. Here at home in Illinois, it's been open in Iowa 5 days. But, you know, I've been watching everything on DeerCast and following that. And it's like, guys are just laying down hammers already. And it gets me excited. It gets me antsy. And I have to kind of, like before the podcast, I have to draw the reins on myself a little bit because I'm wanting to make late October, November moves. And the first 5 days when I maybe should just chill a little bit, but you get motivated, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, like you said, that whole paying attention to October, I'm in that exact same boat. Before I worked with Mark, like, I don't know, late October is when you started taking it seriously. Like, you looked at those first 3 weeks and I was always just like, shoot those.
That's Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it makes you wonder how many missed opportunities did I not take advantage of over the last, 13, 14 years, whatever it is that I've hunted. I mean, because like what I've seen in the last 365 days of working here, this is a good time if you have the right conditions. And like, again, you know, everybody always complains and says, oh, deer cast, you know, I think there's like an ego association where somebody's like, don't tell me when to go hunting.
Yeah, there is. So like,
when to go hunting, it's helping you make an educated decision. Cause like this time of the year, nobody wants to burn their vacation, right? Mm-hmm. They want to save it for the rutcation or whatever. Well, you know, if you have, and again, man, you can attest to this. It's not because I work here. It's scary accurate.
I mean, it is. That's what's kind of like a frustrating, and it's got to be even more frustrating for you. But for me, it's frustrating to see guys on lines bashing it. And I'm like, man, they're not giving it a chance and they just don't know. And it's almost like not even worth the argument to go in and be like, hey, man, but I'm telling you, I'll show you one thing, see if I can do it without giving away my spot. Because I'll show my farm, right? This has been, I was in bed till midnight, 1 o'clock last night, doing some studying.
Yep.
Let me get to my spot. Actually, I'll just do a generic spot, but I'll tell you, the wind check feature is a godsend.
Yeah, it is.
So for you guys that aren't on the wind check feature, you're missing out, and you can drag that. That's like the shittiest way to show it. But I'm telling you that
4 or 5 days. I mean, yeah, like you just said, like, again, So I don't necessarily have to worry about burning vacation, but it's like, okay, I have this much editing to do. What day am I targeting for Carson and I to get out our first night? Well, got a couple of new permission farms this year, and our biggest deer has been showing up very consistently. It's driving me crazy because we can't go hunt it. We don't have the right wind. Well, again, looking on that predictor in the future, Saturday. Saturday is the day we're going in after them. Rising moon, finally get a south after all the norths. Like, and again, it's just, it goes back to like, it's a tool. You know what I mean? Like, it blows my mind how many people, and I got friends that are saying this too, and it's like, and I don't want to say argument, but it's like, dude, hunters are not stingy spenders. How many pieces of pizza do you buy? You go buy gloves because you lose them 3 times a year. Like, you burn money like it's nothing.
Yeah.
And you talk about a 12-month subscription to a, what I would consider a true tool to help people be more efficient. It's not telling you when to hunt. It's helping you become more efficient. And there's a bunch of information in there.
Yeah.
Along with entertainment, you know, on the media side, that it's like, what does it break out to be? Like $5-6 a month? Don't tell me that.
There's guys dropping more money on OnlyFans a day than they are on their DeerCast subscription.
Hey, it does not cost a lot. And like, again, it's one of those things, like, just give it a chance. I really don't think if anybody listening to this was to get it, that they'd be like, well, that was a dumb purchase.
No, I don't think so. I'll show you something. I want to know if you thought about this. I've been meaning to make like its own separate tip video for this. And maybe there's a way to do it in DeerCast, but I just haven't thought of it yet. But I'm going to show a picture. It's going to be kind of hard to see, but you'll get the gist on my phone here. So I've had an 8-pointer show up a couple of times, not a monster deer, but a mature deer. And instead of just keeping the trail cam pictures on my phone, what I've been doing is taking screenshots of the deer cast for that day hourly for the time the deer was there. And I always do it after I get a picture, I go through and screenshot it. And then what I'll do is overlay it onto the picture of the buck. And so when I go through my album, I can look through and see all the deer cast data on the picture of the deer. And I don't know if there's a way to do something like that in DeerCast yet or anything, but that's one way I've been organizing to keep track of patterns on like what a buck might be doing on a wind direction. And you can see all the weather data on the trail cam photo.
Dude, that's awesome.
I don't know if you've seen other people do that, but that was something I thought of last week. So that's what I started doing.
Sweet. Yeah. No, I have not seen somebody else do that. Man. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Figured I'd just put that in there real quick. Hard. Let's talk about Catch a Dream, man.
Catch a Dream? Yeah, man. What a – Chandler was a pleasure, man. They came up from Mississippi. His family was incredible. You know, he was just a very, you know, inspirational young man. Mm-hmm. And Perry actually were able – first night they had the perfect win. Mark talks about in the episode, but this is the first year that Mark was not able to attend. Because they were being awarded cannot remember the exact award, but it was from the Missouri Department of Conservation. Very, very big deal for him and Terry. And so they just had to go to that. Well, the Catch a Dream family arrived and dude, everything kind of just lined up. You know, like Mark says in the Deer Season 22 I'm editing, it was a godsend because the blind that they hunted, well, that was the spot that had the most shooters showing up, no doubt, but you need an east wind. You know, so to get an east wind with consistent speed, I hate to keep going back to like deer cast, but looking ahead, that the family flew in early. Mm-hmm. They were able to reroute their travel plans to take advantage and strike on, you know, what ended up being his biggest deer to date, obviously, you know, just a huge 164-inch 10, you know, and so it's like, it just all worked out. You know, I got to go hunt with him for a doe. He made 2 smoking shots. And, man, it's going to be a cool episode. You know, the family, everything was kind of perfect.
Can you pull up some pictures of that? Can you give us some sneak peeks? Yeah. I pulled up the award. Mark and Terry were honored the Lewis and Clark National Corp of Discovery Conservation Award from the Missouri Conservation Heritage Foundation. Highest award given by the MCHF for leadership and conservation at a national level. The award is given based upon exemplary service, inspiration, and commitment to benefit the conservation cause.
Yep.
That's a slammer.
Yeah.
Good photo too, man.
Cool deer.
For you guys listening on the audio side, Josh is sharing his screen showing pictures of this slammer. Man, that's a beautiful picture. He had to have been thrilled, man.
Yeah, it was, like I said, again, perfect shot. I mean, I don't remember how far the deer went, probably 50, 60 yards off the field. And then for those that want to see a sneak peek at Wade's, we're actually going to be up on DeerCast relatively soon, I think.
This will probably be launched. Yeah, so this episode will – this has already been out, but if you missed that, you need to go look.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Slam. So
big old drop time. You know, we called him D8. Wade named him that because obviously mainframe eight pointer.
Yeah.
7.5, I think, drop time, bunch of sticker points. I mean, just world-class animal. I mean, there's no other way to explain
it. This buck reminds me a lot of the Geyer buck, my dad's buck they shot, we always refer to. Like, it has a lot of similar characteristics.
Really? We'll have to get those side-by-side and take a look at it.
He's got that inside kicker coming off his right side. He's got a drop on the left side, big frame eight. So are we getting a sneak peek of this video right now?
A little sneak peek. This is him.
Slammer. Man, it's a beautiful buck.
So we're very excited to bring that one to and we almost got him on the second. And got him last night, so couldn't be happier for Wade, man. I mean, yeah, without saying too much.
Yeah,
so
I love it, man. How's it editing everything for DeerCast? You know, with like Dream Season Live and everything else coming out and deer season and all that. I mean, you just crank them out so fast. I can't imagine the workload.
Yeah, well, so right now I've got the Catch a Dream one that I'm working on currently, and then Wade's will be next. Carson's working on. I can share my screen again. Give a little shout out to Nick Morris, my good buddy from Northern Missouri. He shot an awesome deer that we were fortunate to go on the track with. And so that'll be available in the next few days. Again, this will probably air a little bit later, but Dream Season Live is taking off. His son actually shot an awesome buck 2 days later following this. So Dream Season Live is just pumping them out. And now with Iowa open, I expect that part of the cast will, you know, definitely light it on fire too. So
yeah.
Carson and I, we'll see when we can get out. You know, we're hopefully going to be striking this weekend. I mean, I don't know how much success we'll have, but
I think a lot of deer are going to die this weekend, man. It just seems like the weather conditions are great for this early in October.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking on making some game plans, you know, we'll see how aggressive I want to get, but you know, you go to DeerCast and you look, you know, daily DeerCast, I'm pulling it into the weekend. It's like north winds, 30 degrees. It's just looking nice.
Yeah. No, it's like I said, man, it's not how I would have approached any other year before working here.
Mm-hmm.
But after seeing how effective October can be, especially, you know, Mark always says they're a lot more predictable. You know, he talks about how maddening November is because it's just such random movement.
Yeah.
Again, there's definitely some sort of excitement to that thrill of watching the rut unfold. But man, when you're trying to key in on some specific, you know, target, I can't argue that this is a fantastic opportunity to try and take advantage of.
So, yeah, I feel like that's kind of evolving with me. Like the more I'm mature as a bow hunter, like I'm liking a cold front in October more than November. But at the same time, on November 1st, like, you know, for the next 2.5 weeks, anything can happen at any time. And that's a great feeling.
Yeah.
But it's nice too, to be in there on a cold front in October. And you know, you might not see the craziness, but you know, one could just come out, and if he does, he might be alone. And that's almost even better than have a bunch of does or whatever the situation, but it still gives you that game day type feeling like November does.
Yeah. Yep. I'd agree with that. Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hoping to film next few days and then, like I said, get out Saturday. So,
well, best of luck to you guys. You and Carson, you guys are – is it like you guys going together or are you guys going to do your own separate things?
Yeah, we're we got permission on the same farms together, and just with our, you know, editing schedule, we're able to coordinate a little bit stronger there. Matt Drury's actually coming to IU, drew an Iowa tag finally, so he's coming to Iowa today. And so that means that Mark, Perry, Matt have tags yet. So it's I expect that those guys will be getting into something in these next few days too.
Very cool. Well, yeah, I imagine this week is going to be good. Well, we need you guys to fill buck tags so then we can get a bunch of the Drury crew to the studio. I want you guys to fill buck tags because I want you to be successful. But for selfish reasons, it'd be great if we could all just go ahead and fill a couple buck tags, even here in Illinois, so we can have some free time.
That'd be awesome, man. I would very much welcome it. It'd be great to get back over there.
Yeah.
He's been there twice as much as anybody over here. Sneaks his way in.
Lee's interesting because when Lee will call and just be like, hey, I'm on my way to the studio. We're going to do a podcast and you can't tell me no because I'm in a cult. And then I'm just like, you're right. You know, I don't want to mess with that. You know, yeah. I don't really want to deal with it. So it's just easier to just hit the record button, just let him go off about things.
It's because he's so bored because he can't find the target. That's his problem. That's why he's just,
that's part of the problem this year. But the guy,
he had a good enough year last year.
What's that?
He had a good enough year last year.
I told him you kill over a 200 inch buck. Like, chances are you kind of have a skunky season the following year for a normal person.
No, he's definitely putting in the effort to try and find one. There's no doubt about it. He'll find one. He always does.
I like talking to him, man. Like, we met, Lee and I met through you. And, I talk to him on a daily basis about some sort of deer game plan now. Like, he's got very cult-like in our crew, and he's a regular now. So, it's the cult power, I guess, but people like Lee, man, there's something about him. Like, he's polite. He's well-spoken. He still cuts up with the boys, and the guy kills big deer.
He's just genuine. I mean, that's kind of, if I could wrap it all into one thing, it's like, Lee is Lee. He's a great friend. I mean, one thing, again, we kind of talked about, we weren't necessarily close growing up by any means, but, you know, when I shot my biggest deer in 2020, he drove, well, it was like 2 hours, and it was like 11 midnight when I called him, and he came, and I was just like, you know, he's one of those kinds of friends. He doesn't miss it. You know, he's just as happy as, you know, for everybody else to have success. So, yeah, it's pretty easy to see why people would gravitate towards him. So.
Well, he's passionate too. That's a big thing too that I've learned in the last, just with the podcast, is surround yourselves around good people who are just as passionate about what you're passionate about. And it really just elevates your passion and the good in what you're trying to do. Yeah. And I honestly remember when I first met our buddies Ross Bigger and Austin Chandler, I remember telling my wife, like, I want to hang around more people like that are into the same things die hard that I'm into. And I've done nothing but do that, you know, with the Drury family and Lee and Doug and Eric and our whole crew. And it's honestly elevated me as a hunter and my passion. So that's some advice I'd give to anybody. Like, you want to get more into something, you got to surround yourselves with people that are really into what you want to get more into. So yeah.
Well, we're both very, very lucky in that aspect. I mean, that's one doesn't get talked about enough at Drury Outdoors. Like, I think Carson and myself are getting too much credit. There's an entire different studio in St. Peter's, Missouri that makes a lot of things happen. You know, and they're super, super talented guys.
I feel guilty I haven't got over there yet and had a lot of them guys on the podcast, but
they're great guys. So, you know, just shout out to them. You know, obviously Carson and I being more involved in the hunting side, we maybe are more interactive per se, but
yeah,
definitely. Big shout out to those guys as well on that.
Yeah, they do a killer job. It's a powerhouse down there too. It's cool to see. Like,
Mark always says, takes a village. That's what he always says.
Hey, I got a question for you too. When someone comes up, if you're out at dinner with non-hunters, and someone goes, "Hey, Josh, what do you do for a living?" How do you answer it without having to explain everything that you do? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that doesn't necessarily happen, but like the girl that I'm talking to, which you know who that is.
Yeah, right.
Parents, what I do. You know, it's like,
what's that?
When you try to explain to the parents, like, what do? You're like, well, I film deer hunts. I mean, I don't care. Like, if somebody's got an issue with what I do, They're not meant to be in my life. You know what I mean?
I hear you. I was just curious though, like, you know, you that weird weather type conversation. Like, like my buddy Devin, I didn't know really what he did for a long time. But you ask him, he's an entrepreneur. He does his thing. You know, he doesn't just do one thing. But I've noticed when other people ask him, hey, what do you do for a living? What do you do? You know, it just comes up when you meet someone or whatever in passing. I'm in marketing. That's what he always says. And I'm like, you're not in marketing. He kind of is, but he's not really.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what do you do? So
I have funds and make videos. I don't really go into it. If they ask more questions, sure. But dude, I don't even know what to call what I do. Honestly, I have no idea. Changes day to day. I just have fun. You know what I mean? Like, that's one thing. There's definitely days where it's like, man, what am I doing? I'm exhausted. Yada, yada.
Yeah.
But 99% of the time, it's just like, life's good, man.
Life good is people, good.
Good memories. Deer season's back. Turkey season.
Do you ever feel like you punch in or out?
No. It never stops.
Never stops. I guess that's one thing, a takeaway. If someone wants a job in the outdoor industry, it's like, you're never not working, technically.
Yeah, and I mean,
that's okay, though.
Exactly. I was going to say, you can look at it that way, or, you know, those days that I get frustrated, I think about, like, okay, I could work in any other job doing any other thing, and I could take a week of vacation. Which one do you want? Refocused, right back to it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd rather be in bed working for what I want to do at midnight,
yep.
Which I would never do for another job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it goes back to the whole thing last year on the podcast we did with Mark, that as long as I continue to have the mentality and attitude that there's somebody out there that wants it more, is working harder, and would do it for less money per se, you know, I think that that allows me or whoever I'm surrounded with to remain grounded and ultimately never get complacent. And again, like I said, man, like, I don't like individual accolades or credit, because everybody plays a role in those videos. I'm sure I'm punching some keys, but it's not a one man thing. It never will be, never has been. And we've got a really good team, and I hope everybody's enjoying Deer Season 22. If you're not watching it, I hope you can start to.
Mm-hmm.
Dream Season Live's coming with a vengeance, and these next 3-4 episodes coming up will be, you know, very, very action packed and full of entertainment and lessons and big deer. So
looking forward to it, man.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time from your day. What's that?
I was going to say, for the people that watch it, definitely let us know, you know what I mean, what you think, and leave a comment. You know, it, all that feedback is taken into consideration, and we want to make a video that people like to see. So.
Very good points. Well, man, I appreciate it, taking time out of your day. I'm the more you're on this podcast with me, the less you're doing for your editing, the more it's cutting into your hunting time.
Nah. Good.
That was you're exactly right. I just hit the nail on the head there.
You have to get Wade on to get his perspective on his hunt here in the next few days.
I know. I need to. I got a cold front to hunt. That's what DeerCast is telling me.
Yeah, that's a good point. Buck out west again.
I'm going out west a couple weeks. Yep. And I'm not gonna lie, it's gonna hurt me a little bit to leave, like with the Whitetail Woods. But I have that elk tag, you know, and I gotta fill it. I gotta do my best to fill it.
Absolutely.
You know, whitetails are always here at home.
Yep.
And I'm only gonna miss 5 days. Also, it is gonna be my days that I like to hunt the last week of October. But I'll be back for the rut. You got all November, all December, part of January.
You're gonna tag out in the next few days. I don't know what you're worried about.
I like that. I like that positivity. That's what I need in my life.
Let's do it.
Where can people find you?
Like, find me on, I guess, Instagram. It's Josh Parks of Drury Outdoors. But most importantly, I'd rather people find me at Drury Outdoors, the, you know, DeerCast, our YouTube channel. And again, all the feedback that we can get, it's welcomed, it's appreciated, and ultimately, like Mark always says, all of it's for the people that are watching it. So,
for sure. Well, thanks, man. Appreciate Absolutely. You. Thanks Thank for putting you. Up with me the last year, and then hopefully years to come here as we grow this episode 50. That's a milestone here for the DeerCast series. It's a lot of content, and every one of them has been on video, so that's a big deal for me too.
Yeah.
but we're chipping away. So everybody, thanks for watching, listening. Let us know what you think in DeerCast. Let us know who from the jury crew or anybody else that you want on the show when these episodes launch in DeerCast. Do it in DeerCast, and we'll do our best to make that happen. But pay attention to the app. Take advantage of what it's telling you and shoot straight. You know what to do. Go shoot a giant. We love you.